In our Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13. It's been a couple weeks since we've been in Matthew, we're looking at chapter 13. We're beginning what is known as the third discourse, the third lengthy teaching that Jesus gives to us in the Gospel, and that begins in chapter 13, beginning verse 1. And if you recall a couple weeks ago, we actually looked at verses 10 through 17. I promised you we would return back to the parable. We wanted to see what the parables, what the purpose of the parables were. Now that we've seen those purposes, if you recall, those purposes were to judge unbelief and to fulfill prophecy. And to bring God's blessings. Those are the three things we gleaned from verses 10 through 17. Now we're going to go back and we're going to look at this parable, the first of seven parables here in Matthew chapter 13. So I'm going to read verses 1 through 9, and then I'm going to skip ahead to verses 18 through 23 as we consider the parable of the sower. Following with me as I read out, this is God's holy and authoritative and inspired word. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea, and great crowds gathered about him. So he got into a boat and sat down, and the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. And now to verse 18. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. And the reading of God's word there, and trust he will bless it unto us. Encourage you to keep your Bibles open as we look at this parable. If you're someone who wants to take some notes, I will try to do my best to help you and assist you as I proclaim the word. If you'd like to do that, we need to pause though before we even begin our meditation upon these words. Let's pause. Let's go to our Lord and let's ask for His blessings. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we come before you and we thank you for your word. And we would pray that today that you would nourish us spiritually with these words. Lord, this parable is so familiar to us. And we may think that we know this parable fairly well, but we pray that today you would bless us so we can see things that maybe we've forgotten. That you would bless us and that we were able to see things that we've not seen before. We ask that you would bless us in a way that this is a passage we've never really considered applying to our own lives before. And so, Lord, we would ask that you would teach us by your word and by your spirit. We ask this in Jesus' name. And let us say, amen. Well, brothers and sisters in Christ, I don't consider myself much of a green thumb. Some of you are very good at growing flowers or vegetables. Probably the one thing that I have attempted to do is plant grass. I'm not real good at it. I wish I had my father's touch. My dad is very meticulous about his lawn. I'm not quite as talented as he is. Last summer, I tried to plant some grass. I had some branches trimmed, and so I wanted to plant some grass. And so as I'm preparing the ground and all this, I'm scattering the grass, and I'm looking at it going, you know, I think maybe I wanted a little more lush here, so you throw a little more seed on, and then you go, maybe I want a little thicker over here too. And pretty soon, you know, you've got grass seed everywhere, and you get it, you prep it, you water it, and all this. And I can tell you right now where where I planted grass right now, there's just a couple of strands here and there. A lot of the seed didn't grow. I sowed a lot of seed, but I don't cause the growth, do I? Neither, you don't cause your vegetables to grow or your flowers to grow either. It's something we recognize. It's God who works in the soil. God works and prepares that soil to see grass, to see vegetables or flowers, whatever you're planting. Well, this third discourse that Jesus begins in chapter 13 deals with parables, and specifically, we want to look at the parable of the sower. Because the parable of the sower reflects on this idea of sowing seed. Last year, we encouraged you to talk with others about Christ, to share with others about God's Word. And just because the calendar has changed to 2019 doesn't mean you can stop doing that now. But God calls His people to sow seed. It's not our job to plant. It's to spread seed, to share God's Word, and God will cause growth. And that, in essence, is what this parable is about. It's about God causing growth, working in hearts of people. William Hendrickson talks about these parables, and he uses this term. He says, parables are used to both, quote, reveal the truth to those who accepted the mysterious, but to conceal it from who rejected the obvious. It's about rejecting. Parables are used to reveal and conceal. And when we talk about God's Word, and maybe you've had this experience before, when you talk to somebody, you get some people who go like, yeah, and they engage in a really good conversation about it. And then you have others who like want to shut the door right then, right there, right now. I always, Chuck Swindoll, the famous pastor, whenever he flies, you get the conversation with his partner, this person sitting next to him, and you talk about the job, and they'll say, well, say to Chuck Swindoll, what do you do for a living? And Chuck Swindoll always says, I'm in the insurance business. They go, well, what kind of insurance do you sell? And Chuck Swindoll, tongue-in-cheek, says, I'm in the fire insurance. Because he knows if he says he's a pastor, the door is going to shut. And that I've had that experience as well regarding my vocation. But they're used to, Jesus is going to reveal and conceal. He's going to reveal the truth to those who've accepted it. He's going to conceal it from those who've rejected it. This isn't the first time that we see parables. As you recall, a couple weeks ago, we made reference to the parable at the end of the Sermon on the Mount about the wise man and the foolish man. From this point on, as one scholar said, from this point on, about a third of Jesus' teachings in the Gospel of Matthew and Mark and Luke, a third of his teachings from here on to the cross will be done through parables. And so this is a transition. And these parables are going to focus on the kingdom of heaven. And it's going to refer specifically to the kingdom itself, to the king, and to the king's subjects. Now, as we've already mentioned, Israel has a lot, the people have a lot of misconceptions about this kingdom. They're thinking that that the Messiah is going to come and Rome's going to be kicked out. They think that all these apathetic Jews and these agnostic Gentiles, they're all going to come to Jerusalem and they're all going to jam the streets and they're all going to worship God and this kingdom's going to be great, it's going to be glorious and there's going to be a temple and it's going to be greater than anything even David or Solomon could imagine, and the people are going to follow the law of God and they're going to the Messiah is going to reign in justice and righteousness, and everything is going to be great. And Jesus is going to use these parables to tell them that things aren't going to be exactly how you think. Jesus is going to use these parables to say, you know, the kingdom of heaven is like, and he's going to use a lot of different a lot of different illustrations, and we're going to look at those in the coming weeks. But today we want to focus on the sower. We want to focus on the sower. We want to look at these soils that Jesus refers to. And if I can encourage you, I don't want us to say, as we're sitting here, I don't want us to kind of like maybe, you know, elbow your spouse and say, you know, you should listen. I don't want you to go, you know, I think this person, you know, really needs to hear this sermon. It's this person. I don't want you to say, you know, so-and-so is on the other side of the room over there. I hope they're listening to this. Jesus wants us to look at the soil of our own hearts. Jesus wants us, in this parable, to reflect upon what's going on in us. And so we want to look at these soils and consider what kind of soil is in our own hearts. What's growing in our hearts? But before we do that, let's quickly just kind of look at what's going on. I'm using this as a pre-point, I guess you want to say. The scene of what's going on. Notice in verses 1 and through 3, that same day, Jesus went out of the house, sat beside the sea, and a great crowd gathered about him. So he got into a boat, sat down, and the whole crowd stood on the beach, and he told them many things in parables. Now, there's some things that are going on here. If you recall, chapter 12, in chapter 12, the last section of chapter 12, we recall, Jesus is speaking in a house. His mother and his brothers come, and they stand outside. They send a messenger in saying, hey, can you go get Jesus? And Jesus says, look, here are my family, those who do the will of the Father. This is occurring on that same day. I kind of want to maybe skip over that part, but there's a connection between the end of chapter 12 and the end of chapter or the beginning of chapter 13. Jesus has already been teaching. He's been discussing the man with the withered hand. He's talking about the sign of Jonah. And then he talked about, this is the one who does, my family, who does the will of my Father in heaven. And then he goes that same day he goes out from the house and people follow him. And people follow him to the point that he gets on the beach and he finally gets into a boat. As one commentator says, his pulpit is a boat. And he goes and he proclaims and he goes to this great crowd. Now, there are great crowds that are following him, but not everyone in the crowd is believing. There are some that are following him because they're just kind of captivated. Maybe they love his preaching style. Maybe it's because this what he says is just so thoughtful. Maybe they're like those at the end of the Sermon Mount. They say, you know, he preaches with authority like none of the rabbis ever do. So they're just enamored with it. Don't assume that all these crowds, that everyone in this crowd, believes in Jesus. Which is in part why he teaches this very parable. Because there are going to be some whose the soil of their hearts is not one that's growth. So he preaches to a crowd. He's preaching on the seaside. And he's preaching. Notice it says, too, he gets in a boat. He sits down. Now, that was custom in those days for the teacher to sit down and everybody else to stand up. Maybe you should try that some Sunday. I don't know. you know, you can stand for an hour plus, and I'll sit down. But no, that was custom in those days. It was so don't be surprised. Jesus is sitting down, and he begins to teach them parables. Now it says there that he told them many things in parables. We could consider that maybe there was many more parables, but the Holy Spirit preserved these for us. But he's taught, he's teaching them many things. These parables, as we recall, earthly stories with the heavenly meanings. He's trying to teach us through everyday events. He's trying to teach us some sort of spiritual truth. And so now we get to the parable itself. And Jesus, if you recall, if you have your Bibles open, we want to look at a different parable, just so we understand what's going on a little bit. If you have your Bibles open, if you look at verse 37 in the parable of the weeds, which we will study, Lord willing, next week, verse 37 says, "The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man." So Jesus here is the sower. Jesus is a sower, and all those, and in connection with that, not only is Jesus the only sower, but Jesus' disciples later on will be sowers, and those who minister the gospel are sowers, those who talk about the gospel are sowers, as by extension, because of our connection with Christ. And so Jesus here is this sower. Now, I want you to also note that Jesus here, notice the sower in this parable, the sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell along a path and rocky ground. Jesus is not a careless farmer. He's not just throwing soil or seed up in the air, and wherever it goes, that's where it goes. Jesus here is not careless. Farmers often scattered seed and tilled the soil in those days. And so, in the same way, God's words proclaim to many. Jesus proclaims the gospel to many. You and I have had privileges to talk with many people about the gospel in some capacity. And as you know, as well as I know,